Was that the New Revised Standard? Yes. Okay, great. So we hear God's word. We see it from the prophet of old. We see it from Paul as he was sharing it to that early church in Ephesus. And we see it from Jesus' mouth himself today. I am sure all of us have things to do to get ready for company. I'm probably not as good at that as some of you might be. My responsibilities might end up being to pick up a few things, to get the porch halfway ready so that people could actually get up and into our house, and then we divide up the duties extensively as we get ready for guests. Hospitality is something we all are familiar with. Now, there were times that hospitality involved going to relatives' houses, and you would have a meal, and then you would stay, or they would come to your house and would have a meal, and then they would stay. Anybody remember doing anything like that before? Have you ever done that along the way? We did that at Mom and Dad's. We just sort of came in and crashed their place. Poor old Thomas, he had to end up on the recliner. There was no other room in the inn as far as beds go. Bobby got a couch. Allison, the shortest one in our family gets the largest couch. What's that about? I'm not sure we understand that, but that's okay. Did you survive? Okay. And when we just piled in, and it was a glorious time just to be there with our family. Hospitality is that wonderful gift of welcoming the stranger. The nomadic people of the biblical world could not have survived without it. The Greeks came to rank injustice to foreigners and strangers as an evil exceeded only by godlessness and lack of reverence for parents. God's people were strangers in Palestine, but they could never quite settle on what to do with the strangers in their midst. For most of the ancient world, the stranger was an enemy, an unknown sinister one who needed to be driven away. Yet they were not quite sure because the stranger might be a messenger from God. This feeling of fear and superstition was mixed with fascination, curiosity, and the need to be helpful. We'll let Garrison Keillor tell us a story like he is able to do. A man is hijacked on the highway, robbed, beaten, stripped of all of his clothing, and left stranded in the middle of the road in the middle of the night. He wanders through the woods, dazed and cold, and then he stumbles across a house where two ladies live. He knocks on the door, and the two women peer out at him from an upstairs window. One says to the other, "Oh my soul, we can't let him in. He has no clothes." The other replies, "Oh my goodness, we have to let the poor man in. He has no clothes." In spite of fear and suspicion, biblical people approached each day with the expectation that the events of the day might contain messages addressed to them personally. Omens, epiphanies, blessings, teachers who would knowingly or unknowingly speak a message from the spiritual world. Jesus saw this clearly. "Just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Matthew 25, verse 40. His whole ministry was dependent on the hospitality of the people. He sent out his disciples expecting hospitality in towns and villages, as recorded in Matthew chapters 10 and Luke chapter 10. And how can we forget about Abram's gestures of hospitality all the way back in the early pages of Genesis chapter 18? Scripture says, from the door of his tent, looking east, he sees three figures coming toward him through the heat of the day. They look like ordinary people. Abraham runs out to meet them. There are gestures of welcoming, bowing before them, and a rather long speech suggesting some anxiety on Abraham's part. He offers rest, water, and food. these, quote, ordinary, end of quote, strangers bring the promise that Isaac will be born, a reward beyond Sarah and Abraham's comprehension. Surely the writer of Hebrews had this story in mind when he says this in chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Even Miss McCullough. Oh, okay. The Bible wants us to know that welcoming a stranger brings us close to an experience with God. It's a long way from Genesis 18 to Matthew 25, but we get a glimpse of Christ in the stranger. I was a stranger, and you welcome me. With all this in the background, it's not surprising that we make elaborate preparations during the Christmas season. In fact, if you haven't seen Eric Cutright's house yet, anybody seen Eric Cutright's house yet? As you're going out of town toward Clarksburg, right past the storage unit place, you have to, of course, do it at night, I'm sure. But it is wonderfully decorated. I am sure Gabby is in all of her glory as she has seen what her mom and dad have done there to prepare for Christmas. Our hymn says it well. Make your house fair as you are able. Trim the hearth and set the table. So, have you done your decorating for Christmas? We have the Christmas tree in the bag in the house. And the ornaments that are to go on it. I think that's on the agenda for this afternoon. Are you ready to welcome Christ into your home during the Christmas season? But Christ is no stranger, we say. This is gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This well-mannered, polite one will be welcomed into our home. He will not make waves. His name is on our tongues. He is one of the family. He's one of us. In many ways, that's how we see him. So we smooth out the rough edges and play down the contradictions. Let's not remind ourselves that he was seen as a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Let's not recall that foxes and birds have holes and nests, but the Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Let's forget that he came into the world and the world knew him not. He came into his own, but his own did not know him. Let's ignore the fact that he really was a stranger. He was born in the same way we all were and would create chaos in your house just like any child would do. Any amens? Okay, that's okay. He got lost in the city and worried his parents to death most of the time. John baptized him and wondered if he got it right. He was a stranger, all right, to his disciples, best friends, mother, brothers, sisters, and even enemies. The disciples were scared of him. He taught in a way no one understood. In free obedience, he did and said what only a person could do and say who was wholly surrendered to the will of God. And in the end, they did him in, and it wasn't pretty. In fact, it was ugly and worse than any of us could imagine. Now, is that the kind of person you want in your house? It's not that we aren't looking for a Messiah at Christmas. It's just that he isn't ever what we are looking for. He will always be a stranger in our midst. But being a stranger does not mean he is distant and unapproachable. This is a stranger who is full of wonder, one who fills our lives with amazement and astonishment, one who is beyond our understanding. On Christmas Day in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Anybody remember the year 1626? I didn't think so. John Donne has these words to say. Others die as martyrs, but Christ was born a martyr. He found Golgotha, where he was crucified, even in Bethlehem, where he was born. For to his tenderness then even the straws were almost as sharp as the thorns after, and the manger as uneasy at first as his cross at last. His birth and his death were not one continual act. They continued to be that from his Christmas Day to his Good Friday. They are all but the evening and the morning of one and the same day. The strange one, one whom we feel more comfortable with at a distance, now comes as a guest to his house. There is no other evident place more than as we think in terms of the communion table. It's a place where we invite him. It's a place that he invites us. So this stranger ends up not being a guest. This stranger continues to be our host. It's as if a stranger, a foreigner, comes into our house and suddenly becomes the master of ceremonies. We don't invite him to the table. It is his table, and he invites us. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. Not the worship committee's table. It's not the deacon's or the elder's table. Christ the stranger invites us. So we start this Advent season today. We finish it when we sit at the table together on December 24th. And it's not a table that we set for him. It is one that he has set for us. I encourage you, though, over the next few weeks, to have the opportunity to be ready to see when the stranger shows up. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful that you come in ways that we cannot even see or imagine. And Lord, we do want to make room for you. We want to prepare for you, to prepare our church, to prepare our homes. Lord, to prepare our hearts, so that we can be ready and willing when those that come in human form in fact represent who you are to us. Always allow us, Lord, to be ready for the least of these, because it is in their lives where you are present. We love you, Lord. In your most gracious and holy name we pray. Amen.